Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Welcome, friends, and as we look at the news coming out in the last few days, we're seeing, as they say, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we'll get into more detail on that throughout the show. There's so much going on and so much that we have to discuss today. But as a way of introduction, let me just tell you what I'm referring to here. The good news. The good is that we have seen President Trump has been keeping his promises on reforming government and bringing back religious liberties and protections for Christians, while at the same time taking a stand for the Constitution. The bad news, there's more accusations coming out against high-level people in Hollywood and really throughout the entire entertainment industry. These things keep surfacing, and they're showing us that there is a trend, what I would consider the objectification and really the abuse of young women involved in the entertainment industry. And we'll talk today about even the abuse against young boys, too. And then the ugly news, we see blatant hypocrisy of so many celebrities and how they remain silent or try to cover up the evil deeds of liberals, while at the same time they rage against conservatives for what they have made up this imaginary so-called war on women. I want to thank you for joining us today as we seek to give some biblical perspective on the issues going on in our nation and around the world. I'm Isaac Crockett, pastor of Hamburg Bible Church, and I'm joined by the president of the American Pastors Network and our regular host of our program, Stand in the Gap Today, Sam Rohr. Sam, thanks so much. It's good to have you back on the program. Welcome back from your short break. I know you've been out of town and unable to be on and so busy with so many things going on, but could you maybe catch our listeners up on some of the exciting opportunities, some of the experiences you've had going on, and really even some of the things happening this week, including the events that you're headed to even later today?
Well, Isaac, I would be glad to do that. And really, it's good to be back with you. A lot of the listeners don't know unless Dave and Gary and you shared the last couple of weeks, but I was actually gone for 2 weeks. I've never done that before in this fashion, and it was for a good reason. My wife and I were celebrating our 40th anniversary, and that only comes once in your lifetime, Isaac, and so you can look forward to that in yours. So it's a good thing. But in any regard, we were gone. We went away for about 10 days and tried to disconnect from all of as many things as we could. But now we're back, and there's so much to go over on this program. It was interesting. I was in California. I was in Hawaii. I was able to talk with a number of people, quite a number of people, about this program. Some had heard, some had not heard about Stand in the Gap Today or the American Pastors Network. And there in my presence, they downloaded our app, which we encourage all of our listeners to do. By going to their iPhone or their Android and just put in the phrase, Stand in the Gap, and that allows them to listen to the program at their convenience. All of our programs archived there. So I was able to do that, Isaac, and found a tremendous response from people who had not heard and then did go and listened to a number of archives and then reported back to me of how thankful they were, and I believe that there are many of them who will be listening now as a result of being away for a few days. So in any regard, that was just a little bit of an update, and I just want to thank you and Dave and Gary for holding down this program in my absence. And there's so much to go over, and you did ask me a question. If you don't mind, I'll just jump into it, just saying about things that are coming up. Yeah, one of the things that are coming up, and I happen to be in Ohio today, so I'm coming in remotely on the program. But I'm going to be going to a place tonight just over the line from Cincinnati, Ohio, in the Kentucky side right across the river for a meeting tomorrow with some important folks. One of those, and it ties in with things we talk about in our program, but BJU Press, who are a regular communicator and sponsor of this program because of their emphasis on biblical worldview, and we like that because they are probably one of the, I would say probably they are the leading producer of textbooks and curriculum where they integrate a biblical worldview into it. And we want to encourage that because that's critical for our people in our country to understand how God thinks about things and so forth. So they're going to be involved at a location there with a new feature, the Ark, literally a replica of Noah's Ark. Ben Ham, who leads that effort there, and he's within the group called Answers in Genesis, factors in a biblical worldview, tying it into creation. But that site, I think, has had well over a million visitors so far. It is amazing. People from all over the country coming to see a real-life modeling of the ark as recorded in Genesis with Noah, and they have everything there relative to how the animals would fit in, how it was made, how it was put together. But it's all a part of presenting a biblical worldview, which clearly starts with God and then goes to creation. And creation, where so many things hinge on that. I know, Isaac, you're going to be talking about this. We'll be talking about it during the program today. But biblical worldview, where it starts with God and then creation of man, and how all of those things fit together really affect the way we either look at the world from God's perspective or we don't look at the world from an anti-God perspective. And I think you're going to factor that into the program. So that's what's going to be happening this week for me in just a couple of days here.
Well, thank you so much, Sam. And let's just pick right up with that you're talking about with Answers in Genesis. Obviously, they're big on creationism, on a biblical worldview. That's what this program is for. And when we talk about a biblical perspective, we often refer to the fact that according to the Bible and even our Constitution recognizes that we are all created equal, that there is a sanctity of human life that protects us. And then that is kind of contrasted, and we see this happening in the news right now, with the secular belief that we evolved from a cosmic accident or a series of accidents that tends to lead to the using of people or the abusing of people, the survival of the fittest, every man for himself, trying to climb up the ladder for success. So as we discuss that today and as we look at the difference between those two viewpoints, could you maybe talk a little more about why this program, why it was you felt that there was a need for there was a gap that needed to be filled for people seeking to see a biblical perspective on things as well as a constitutional, and you know, we have this saying, the most critical issues from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Could, as we go forward, I would like to hear your point of why that's necessary in this day and age.
Well, absolutely, Isaac, and you laid it out very well. The Stand in the Gap Today program, all of our programs in American Pastors Network is focused on presenting the authority of God's Word and applying it to the issues of the day. That's the real need. We know that from research. We know that in reality. A biblical worldview saying that there is moral truth undergirding the Bible directly connects to our view of society, a constitutional view. So we say we talk about the Constitution because everything we talk about is in the realm of jurisdiction of federal government. That's the Constitution. The Bible underpins it. That's how the two link together.
All right. Well, thanks so much for listening. We'll be right back with more on President Trump's most recent speech at the Values Voter Summit and on what's going on with the hypocrisy in Hollywood. Stay tuned.
So what would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your healthcare, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other healthcare plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either. And that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The Handy Guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
All right, well, welcome back, and thanks for listening to us. And we said that we're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. So in this segment, I'd really like to look at the good news, this President Trump's speech at the Values Voter Summit here on Friday. And this Value Voter Summit is hosted by Church Council. President Trump attended last year. He spoke as a candidate for president. And this year, he spoke again as the first time for a sitting president to come and to address this group. Now, Sam, first of all, Newsweek ran an article on Thursday, the day before the speech, and the title was Donald Trump to Speak at Hate Group's Annual Event, a First for a President. Could you maybe explain to our listeners why some leftist organizations consider the Family Research Council a hate group? And were you glad to see the president?
Yes, Isaac, I absolutely was glad to see the president speak at this event. I mean, it is notable that he was there, that it's notable that he was willing to go there. And that's a departure, as you said, from previous presidents. And I think in two respects. One, that he wanted to speak to that audience, which are conservatives, many of them Christians, not all, but most, and certainly Family Research Council is. So that's one part. Second part is that the audience really wanted him to be there. Now, past presidents, Barack Obama and others, didn't really want to go in the first place, and he would not have gotten a very warm reception because his policies differ so radically from anything that was constitutional or biblical. That's a contrast to the president, President Trump, being there. And you talked about a hate group. That's another reason why it's significant the president was there. The groups that come up with this hate group listing, Southern Poverty Law Center, are really the ones who have done it. They have labeled a lot of groups across the country as hate groups. And the ones they label as hate groups are the ones who say there is moral truth. God says. So anybody who would come out and say, God says there is one way, this group label as a hate group. In reality, they're a hate group. But the president was not afraid to go and be there at that group, Voters Value Summit, even though they have been identified as a hate group, because he knows they're not. In reality, that same group would identify the president as being a hate monger as well. So very significant from many perspectives.
It's so significant to listen and hear. In this speech, the president highlighted so many things he's already done, he and his team, to get rid of bad policies, to get rid of regulations that have really limited us with our religious freedoms. And I think we were all glad, all of our listeners probably remember us talking about, as a candidate, what he had talked about undoing the Johnson Amendment. And we were glad to see him refer to that he has undone that, and that he went on to say that the government should not, and this is his quote, they should not silence our pastors or ministers or rabbis. He said, these are the people we want to hear from, and they're not going to be silenced any longer. Now, Sam, I know you've told our listening audience some about this, but you and I were recently contacted by the White House, and we went with 9 other pastors or faith leaders to meet with Attorney General Jeff Sessions when he came to Harrisburg. And actually, since then, the White House has stayed in some contact with us. There was recently a little flub where they said that the president was coming to Hamburg, Pennsylvania, where I a tiny town, and they actually meant Harrisburg, but they contacted me and invited me to go to Harrisburg then instead. But from what you've observed, do you think that when the president says that we're going to listen to our pastors now, that do you think that he and his cabinet members are truly committed to giving us a voice? And as a president of the American Pastors Network, what is your reaction to see things like the Department of Justice, that they've issued new guidelines to make sure that our religion are being effectively protected?
Well, Isaac, it is an important thing for this president. Now, we recall, again, when we talked favorably about the president and unfavorably, as we often have, about the former president, we're not endorsing or condemning everything that they, either one of them does, but we're talking about policy matters here, decisions. President Trump's decision to put around him faith leaders, which he has, many of them pastors, for which he has sought their input all through the campaign and continues to. And he talked about trying to remove the restrictions imposed by the IRS by former President Lyndon Johnson, which is called the Johnson Amendment, that would tend to limit or make pastors in the pulpit fear about talking about anything that takes place outside the walls of the church. The president really meant that. And so he has moved forward on that. And so when he stands up in front of that group and he says, we need to hear from our pastors, from our rabbis, from our church leaders, and we are not going to silence them, he is going directly against the direction and the policies that have been represented in government for the last many, many years. I mean, let's face it, Isaac, in this culture, the pulpits have been derided. God has been thrown down. If the power brokers that would be in the media and others would have their way, you would have no Bible verses left engraved on the walls of our buildings in Washington or our state capitals. You would have no Ten Commandments anywhere, anytime. You would have every reference to God completely removed from every aspect of life. That's what they want. So when the president stands up and says, it's time we hear from the pulpits and we're not going to have them silenced anymore, he's taking a contrarian view to what we have been feeling and seeing such a long time. And, of course, that's what the American Pastors Network is about, is helping to bring this kind of attention forward and encouraging our leaders in government to take the kind of positions relative to thought, to the First Amendment and expression, as our Constitution does, and, frankly, as the Word of God commands the pulpit to do, and that is to communicate truth about all aspects of life. The president is doing that. He said that very clearly. I think it is very, very significant.
Sam, I'd like to kind of follow up on another thing that the president did. He hinted at it in the speech, and then later he fulfilled it. But he talked about this nuclear deal with Iran. And I know last week on our show, both Dave and Gary urged the president to decertify this deal. And he did. Now he has done it. Why do you think that this was an important and a constitutional step for him to take at this time?
Well, to me, Isaac, the president's decision to annul that Iranian agreement was critically important for a couple of reasons. One, did he have the authority to do it? Yes, absolutely. Particularly, in fact, that President Obama did not have the constitutional authority to do what was done. He just did it anyway. So he is undoing, in most of these cases, he's been undoing unconstitutional actions that were taken by President Obama. And so that's one thing. So number two, he's also, by so doing, throwing the decision back properly where it should be into the lap of Congress. So some of the changes that he has made in the last couple of weeks relative to Obamacare, a couple of them, not requiring the provision of money, for instance, for contraceptives and that kind of thing that Obamacare required, he undid that through his action, and he's throwing that whole issue back into the lap of Congress as well. And unfortunately, as we know, the congressional leaders, Democrats, not surprising, but the Republican leaders have refused to really sincerely deal with this matter of Iran. They failed to deal with this matter of Obamacare and a host of things. And so the president is doing what he is able to do lawfully and constitutionally to reverse the direction of Barack Obama, basically undo his legacy, frankly. And secondarily, putting the pressure back into the lap of Congress, which is where it must sit and should sit constitutionally. And I believe is a wise decision because he's going to actually pull these reluctant leaders in Washington, Republican and Democrat. He's going to pull them, force them into doing what they know they should have done and should be doing, but have up to this point been refusing to do.
Wow. That's a lot of things going on that he has done rightly. You know, he made some other statements and we don't have time to fully get into all of them. In America, we don't worship government, we worship God. And he also said we're going to start saying Merry Christmas again. Any observations or thoughts as we got this segment on Donald Trump and the good news? Well, do you think there'll be any impact coming back from that?
I absolutely do. I think for the president to say we do not worship government, we worship God, again, that flies directly into the face of a secular worldview. We've been witnessing for a long time people in government who really believe that government is God. And we've talked about this on this program a lot. We've said, in actuality, that's what's happening. Well, the president, by saying what he said, we worship God in this country. Well, it's true traditionally. It is true from the standpoint that at the heart of our laws, it still recognizes that. But he's taken a contrarian view because, in reality, culture, the media, Hollywood, and others have rejected God, and he's putting them all on notice. And I think should everyone of our listeners, when they hear that, they should stand up and say, amen, praise the Lord, that a president is actually having the boldness to take and make this kind of a statement, because it is significant.
Amen. All right. Praise the Lord for what you just said there, what he said. All right. When we come back, unfortunately, we need to talk about the bad and the ugly side of the news. And there's a lot of new information being revealed about celebrity elites in Hollywood who have been doing some bad things. But there's also some information that's not very new, but it is relevant. So we'll be right back with more information that you don't want to miss about what's going on in Hollywood and the hypocrisy that is coming all over our nation from these liberals and leftists who have not really living what they say we should be doing.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
All right, well, welcome back, and thank you for listening. We talked earlier that we were talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly in the news. And unfortunately, this is the time where we come to the bad and the ugly part as we look at Hollywood's hypocritical cover-up for objectifying and abusing women and children. Welcome back to our program, Stand in the Gap Today. Thank you for joining Sam Rohr, the president of the American Pastors Network, and myself, Isaac Crockett. We started the program by addressing the good. We talked about some good things that are happening that Sam said we should be saying amen and praise the Lord for what the speech on Friday. But we also said that there's some ugly things happening. And so now, as we get into examining these horrible things that are happening in Hollywood and this hypocritical cover-up, we get into this topic. But before we go back to that, I would like to remind you that today's program, as well as past programs, can be found in an archive of recordings at our website. The website is standinthegapradio.net, or you could go to your smartphone app, to your smartphone. And then also, don't forget that if you would like to follow us on social media, we're on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you can use this to share content from our program to your friends and family. There's a parent or grandparent and millennial child or grandchild to hear some of what we're discussing about. You could send them a link to the archive or send other information from our program via our social media, and it's very helpful and very useful. And then as well as our mobile apps, you can get to this ministry. We are supported by listeners like you, and let me tell you, we greatly appreciate your gift of any size to help keep this ministry operating. All right, well, as everybody who's been watching the news lately knows, there is a long list of women, including famous actresses, the last I saw, like Gwyneth Paltrow, Angelina Jolie, other famous people, and they're accusing some of the Hollywood elites, like film producer Harvey Weinstein, of inappropriate behavior, including sexual harassment, even sexual assault and intimidation. He rejected his advances. But no one familiar with this industry seems to be surprised by these revelations at all. In fact, some really famous people have admitted that they either knew about or were suspicious about this for years. And the bad news gets even worse when really there have been some women who have just now come out against Harvey Weinstein after feeling in tears. But there have also been people trying to expose the behavior of Hollywood elites for decades. But the media, by and large, seems to have kept silent on this fact. And it's disturbing that the same media that labels Christian organizations like the Family Research Council as, quote unquote, hate, can turn a blind eye to the abuse of women and children celebrities who are pushing a secular agenda that is opposed to our biblical worldview. Sam, could you talk to our listeners and tell them a little bit about some of what's going on, in particular, this name Michael Egan and what his story is all about, as he's tried to come forward and expose some of this abuse against powerful Hollywood elites?
Well, Isaac, there's far too much, really, there's far too much to try and deal with on this program. in its entirety, because we're seeing a very, very sad aspect of elites, those in positions of authority, whether they're in positions of authority from the standpoint of, I call them gatekeepers, the media moguls, Hollywood. Perhaps no one's been more influential on the generation of young people that we have than Hollywood. Hollywood was targeted many, many years ago by individuals, basically your Marxist and your communist of old, to change the way communications are made and to change the way things are done information-wise so as to affect and separate the American people from our past. And they've been very successful, I'd have to say. But within the context of that, I would say, Isaac, that when a culture shoves God aside, and when a culture takes and pulls God off of the throne and does the exact opposite of what the president said, that we worship God, not government, these individuals who worship government or man rather than God opens up a Pandora's box for things. And that's what we're finding unfolding, I believe, in these days right now. And I would have to lay it right here. So it's because of the Department of Justice under the Trump administration that the aspects of government and justice and enforcement of laws are actually taking place. So when you mention a fellow named Harvey Weinstein, Hollywood director, everybody knows him in the elite. He was a major player in the DNC, in the Democrat Party, supporter, a very clear upfront supporter of President Obama and the Clintons, all of them. This individual has now come on the radar and is now actually having lawsuits filed against him and others. And you mentioned a fellow named Michael Egan. Well, Michael Egan, in fact, is an individual who has filed lawsuits, and he's also a director, a movie director, a Hollywood go-to person. But he is now charging with other Hollywood leaders on a broader perspective. Weinstein's involved in that. A fellow named Bryan Singer, who's another Hollywood producer, is involved in this. He's charging these people with pedophilia, that they actually were involved, and he, as a child, is saying that he was sexually abused for years. And in fact, his mother, I'm reading from an article right now, Accuracy in Media, from April 24th of 2014. So this does not just come up. Michael Egan's mother, Bonnie Mound, said way back then, I wrote every news channel, every magazine, every talk show host, everybody from Oprah to 2020 to 60 Minutes, and nobody wanted to do anything about this because of the high-profile people involved, end quote. And what she's talking about is Bryan Singer and others who were also major parts of the Democrat machinery. And so these charges of sexual assault, and as you said, Angelina Jolie and others that have stepped up and said, guys like Weinstein actually made advances on them, it goes far deeper into pedophilia. And that's what these charges are coming up with. And I tell you, it's almost like you open the door and the roaches are running. This has been something that anybody who would do any kind of Googling find out that these accusations have been known for a long, long time, but nothing has been done. I have articles I'm looking at that says that law enforcement for a long time have turned their eye. It says Bonnie Mound, Michael Egan's mother, said the talk shows, the leading talk shows, wouldn't even pick it up because we're afraid to touch it because of the notoriety of people involved. But Isaac, you're talking about a very sad circumstance. But on one hand, I'm very glad that things are coming to light. This is the purpose of government, to enact justice. And I think it would do harm if we didn't make a connection here and say that the Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions and under this administration, who is allowing this to go forward, is doing exactly what God would have government to do. And I think you're going to see a whole lot more come forth as these sad tales continue to unfold.
Sam, as you describe, and I love that picture of the roaches scurrying away when the light is turned on, but as you describe these horrible things that are being, accusations that are being made, how do you respond when you see somebody like Jimmy Kimmel, who on his comedy show, you know, he attacks President Trump and conservatives on a regular basis, if not almost daily basis, and yet he decides to remain mostly silent on the current controversies of what men in Hollywood are being accused of doing, which are horrible things that they're being accused of. How do you respond to this kind of hypocrisy in the entertainment and media industry?
Well, Isaac, I would respond to it exactly as you said. It is hypocrisy. Again, when we talk about biblical and constitutional mores and values on this program, let me go to here with this one principle. All of those in positions of authority, be they in civil government, those in office, those in the Department of Justice, anyone in that position, teachers in the classroom, employers, anybody. Now let's go to Hollywood. Anybody who sits behind a microphone like we're doing, Hollywood, who produces things that go up in and go out into the airwaves, these are all positions of authority. They do. They have to make decisions on what they're going to say and what they're going to do. Well, here again, why does a Jimmy Kimmel and others refuse, Oprah Winfrey and others refuse to acknowledge the allegations which they've known about for a long time? As I read from that article in 2014, I can go back and find articles that preexist that even. These things have been known and covered up. Isaac, when any person rejects God and his authority, will advance the cause of evil and truth, and that's why a Jimmy Kimmel can refuse to talk about one side, those things relative to justice and truth and exposure of that which is wrong, because in reality, these types of people have rejected God and absolute truth, and they cannot dare bring it out lest they look in the mirror and point the finger in their own face. So this is what's happening, I believe, and again, I'm saying, we need to watch this as it's going forward. And it's important that you brought this up today on this program. Important to note, we're seeing the benefits of justice moving forward because it does expose darkness. And when that happens, the roaches do run, and that's a good thing.
Well, Sam, very well said. And it makes you think about these accusations against some people and then bringing out what we might call fake news on others. But you're exactly right. They've rejected truth, and truth comes from God. Jesus Christ says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Please stay tuned as we'll be coming back very shortly here with more on this and some solutions to what's going on in our country.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about. And that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
All right, friends, well, as we come to a section where we like to give solutions as we wrap up the stories for the day, we have been looking at this idea of a biblical worldview and the sanctity of life. And so, Sam, in light of these horrible things happening in Hollywood, do you think that the media will start to show more of our biblical worldview? Do you think that we'll start to hear more? And do you think there's any possibility that they would admit that they've been wrong about some things? And Sam, do you think that maybe the media will apologize, for example, to Vice President Pence for the way they attacked him because of the policy that he has, that he won't put himself in a situation where he's by himself with a lady? And I don't comment about that. Do you think that's a good policy that maybe more of us should follow?
Yeah, well, Isaac, you've given me a lot of things to kind of respond there to in just a minute or two. But let's put it this way. What is the likelihood of Hollywood or the primary leaders that would be right now in media, perhaps, of apologizing for their positions that they've taken on so many things, including being, well, how can I say it, almost covering up, more or less, this matter of sexual assaults and these charges now of ongoing pedophilia that have existed across the spectrum on so many areas? The answer is no, I don't expect that you'll see anytime soon an apology by the media. The reason is the media, in its perspective of dealing with communication and information, have made a purposeful decision years ago to actually go the direction that they're going. Now, do they fully understand the depths of sin and depravity and evil? I mean, do they understand a Sodom and Gomorrah biblically, that when you reject God, that you will be involved in, and fall to the great depths of a sexual depravity? No, I'm not so sure that they necessarily have all that figured out, but that's what God says. You throw me off, and you reject me as God. You reject absolute truth that I have given. When God puts these things out there and people do that, he says, watch out, because you're going to end up in a very, very bad place. So I don't expect to see without a change of heart. Now, could it happen? Yes. Every one of these individuals that we've named and others that we haven't, who have taken an anti-God, anti-biblical, anti-Jesus Christ, anti-moral absolute position in their view of life, can they change? Answer is absolutely yes. But what will it take? They're going to have to come in confrontation with Jesus Christ, Isaac. That's what you as a pastor preach about. That's what we as the American Pastors Network preach about. And that's the good news side of this bad news, is that if people, in fact, agree with God, just agree with him, that there is God, that he created mankind, that mankind fell, and sin came into the world on behalf of the devil acting on that behalf, and then following up with that, that because God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son, Jesus Christ, as the Savior to redeem those people, to bring us in relationship with him. That's the good news side of the bad news of sin. We've talked about today here bad news of sin and evil in its unbelievably definable aspects. But the good news is that Jesus Christ can save lives. He came to save all and any who will accept him. So, yes, Isaac, we could see an apology, but only if there is a complete recognition of who God is and a rejection of evil as we've now seen it. So that's the good news. That's the bad news. But the good news can prevail if people agree with God.
As we look at this and we're coming to an end, could you maybe point out some things that you think we could do? You know, just like with the NFL controversy, some people have taken a stand against it. Things seem to be changing. Could you maybe point out some ways that you think we could either speak up or stand up against the secularist Hollywood Hollywood who's abusing and objectifying women and children, and things that we could do to take a stand for the right direction.
Well, Isaac, absolutely. And you used two phrases there, for and against. I would encourage all of those who are listening to Stand in the Gap today to be more driven by standing for something than even against something. Now, we have to oppose evil. The Bible tells us that. So we speak out about homosexuality. We must speak out about fornication of all types. We must speak out against adultery of all. We must speak out against things of idolatry, trusting in government rather than God, as an example. We have to speak out against those things which are evil. But, you know, one of the most effective ways of doing it, in the case of, for instance, human sexuality, marriage, and we'll be talking about pedophilia today and adultery and sexual assault and a couple of these bad news sections. You know, really the best way to demonstrate is to actually, for those who do know who God is and who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they call themselves a Christian, to live like it, live like a Christian should live. Let their marriages demonstrate fidelity and faithfulness. Let them demonstrate in their lives, their words, their actions, in our lives. Let us, if we were to do that, because we understand that understanding a biblical worldview is really to give glory to God, to recognize that He is God, creator, that He is over all, He made all. And when we give glory to Him and say, we worship you, God, not ourselves. You know, Isaac, I believe that's probably the most effective way for a seeking world to say, wait a minute, what's different about you? How can you live that way? That's what the Bible says. That's the most effective way. Just believe and live like we say we believe, as the Bible says.
Wow, Sam, thank you so much. That is so well worded and such timely advice. And it's part of taking a stand for what is right. Close our program by taking us to the Lord in prayer. As we take our nation and the women and children involved in all these different situations, take them to the Lord in prayer. Those are our time.
Yeah, absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so glad to be on this program today, speaking to all of this entire country and around the world today on these issues. Lord, these are terrible issues. There are things happening. Evil does this. But Lord, there's great hope, and there's restoration and redemption in Jesus Christ for anyone and all, regardless of where they have fallen. And Lord, I would pray for those in authority today, our president, for Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and those who are in positions of executing the laws and going forward. May they pursue justice according to biblical truth, which is what the Bible mandates. May those who are in positions of authority in the news and Hollywood and others, may they come to grips with the depths of sin and evil and look to you, where there is only and only there is restoration. And Lord, I would pray for all those who are listening today to the program. May they have picked up perhaps a little bit from today from what has been said, and may they be encouraged in their own lives to live the truth if they know who you are, and if they don't, come to you in seeking and searching and asking for salvation. We commit all of these things to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sam, for all of your wise and timely advice for us today and a biblical world perspective on what's happening. And for all of you for listening, thanks for tuning in, for listening to this program. You can hear this program or any of our past programs by accessing our program archives on our website, Stand in the Gap Today, and appreciate for our ministry and appreciate you listening to this program, Stand for the Lord. Please tune in again on radio, online, or on your smartphone app tomorrow.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.